you turn to the book of St. Luke, chapter number 17 with me. Book of St. Luke, chapter number 17. We'll read the text here. Have you found it? Amen. Luke chapter 17. Jesus is teaching right here on offenses. He said, "Then said he unto the disciples," look who he's talking to now, "said to his disciples, it is impossible but that offenses will come. But woe unto him through whom they come. It were better for him that a millstone were hanged about his neck and he cast into the sea than that he should offend one of these little ones. Take heed to yourselves. If a brother trespass against thee, rebuke him. And if he repent, forgive him." Let me say that again. Take heed to yourself. That's speaking to me, speaking to each individual that claims to be a disciple of Christ, that's a Christian. "Take heed to yourselves. If thy brother trespass against thee, rebuke him, and if he repent, forgive him." Now, here it gets hard. "And if he trespass against thee seven times in a day, and seven times in a day turn again to thee, saying, I repent, thou shalt forgive him." And the apostle said unto the Lord, "Increase our faith." And the Lord said, "If you had faith as a grain of mustard seed, you might say unto this sycamine tree, be thou plucked up by the root, and be thou planted in the sea, and it should obey you." Brother Conrad, would you pray and ask God to bless the meeting? Yes. Yes, we do, Lord. Help us, Lord, we pray. Yes, we do. Amen. Amen. You can be seated. I want you to notice, first of all, in verse number 1 right here, as he speaks to his disciples or his followers, those that wanted to be Christ-like, there's something that's a fact right here. A fact. He said, "It is impossible but that offenses will come." In other words, sometime or another, you're going to get your feelings hurt. And you know, we all don't like to get our feelings hurt, do we? It causes most folks just to get puffed up, get irritated, get mad. But notice as he goes on, says right here, he said, "But woe unto him through whom they come." Now, he's speaking to those that are offended, and he's also speaking to those that do the offending. And he says right here that offenses are going to come. You know what that says to me? At some time or another, I'm probably going to offend you. At some time or another, there's a good possibility you're going to offend me. True. When you put a bunch of folks together and we're all quick to run our mouth and speak before we think, and when we're quick not to respect other feelings before our own, we generally tend to offend somebody at some time or another. Jesus says right here that offenses, it is impossible, but that offenses will come. But he goes on, he says, "Woe unto him through whom they come." There's a warning right here to us who runs around with a hair trigger. Amen? When we run around with a chip on our shoulders, and we're just quick to speak something that that, you know, it's going to offend somebody. In other words, he's saying we better watch our mouth. We better watch our actions. We better watch our thoughts and our deeds. Hey, we're brothers and sisters in Christ. Amen. You know, I'd hate to know that I was going to heaven one day, and I had an ought against old Brother Tim over here, and I had to meet him up there every day. Amen? We better get things worked out down here in this old world. If there's going to be unity, harmony, and fellowship in God's house, we need to learn how to love one another. We need to learn how to forgive one another. And we need to learn how to watch what we do, what we say. Amen. The offended and the offender, it's impossible. But that offenses will come. It's impossible. Impossible. As hard as we try, we may hurt somebody's feelings sometimes. Woe to the offender. You know, when we get offended, if we don't get over it, if we don't get it worked out, we're going to sow some discord in God's house. We're going to cause divisions, distractions, and various other things at the house of God. We can be a stumbling block. And let me tell you something. All these little old children that's coming in and out of Liberty Baptist Church, they are looking up to mama, to daddy, to leaders in the church, and to Sunday school teachers and other folks around the church. You better watch yourself. Jesus said, whoa, whoa. That's a warning to us. We better be the right kind of person that people can look at and have respect to in like Christ-like. He says it were better for him that a millstone were hanged about his neck and he cast into the sea than that he should offend one of these little ones. I don't want to be a stumbling block to one of these little old kids around here. I don't want to be a stumbling block to a young Christian that's growing in the grace and in knowledge of Christ. We need to be a light. We need to be somebody that they can look up to and pattern after. Paul said, be ye therefore followers of me as I am of Christ. That's the kind of example we ought to strive to be. Christ-like. But notice this in this facts of offenses now. He gives a warning. Or gives a warning in verse 3. He says, take heed to yourself. I'm preaching to you tonight, but I'm preaching to me too. Take heed to yourself. Take heed to yourself. Listen now. If thy brother trespass against thee, and if your brother hurts your feelings, if your sister hurts your feelings, it's going to happen, he says, sooner or later. Somebody's going to offend you, or you're going to offend somebody else. If they trespass against thee, rebuke him. Listen. If Brother David does something to hurt my feelings, I'm going to run over here and tell Brother Adam, Brother Jerry, Brother Lee. You know what he's done. You know what he said. What do you think? Get on my side. Sign on with me. Sign on with me. Co-sign with me. No, that's not what I'm supposed to do. I'm supposed to go to Brother David in love. And me and him supposed to get that worked out between ourselves. Amen. And it can be done. If we've got the mind of Christ and the heart of love, it can be done. We can work our differences out. We better be working our differences out. We better be loving one another because Christ demands it of us. Warning to his disciples. Now let's move on. Not only the facts of the offenses, but the forgiveness that's ordered. The forgiveness that's ordered. I didn't say the forgiveness that's an option. It's not an option. It's an order. He says, if he trespasses against you, rebuke him. If he repent, forgive him. If he trespasses against you seven times in a day, turn again to thee, saying, I repent. What does he say? Thou shalt forgive. Not an option. Christ has commanded us to be forgiving and loving. And if we got our heart right with God, we can do that. Amen? We can be forgiving. We can love one another like we ought to. And the body of Christ at Liberty Baptist Church, when we come together to worship God, if we're in one mind and one accord in unity and we're loving one another like God's Word commands us to do, then things can happen here that we've never seen before. And we ought to be that kind of Christian. I'm talking about one of the biggest problems in Baptist churches in our lives. Forgiveness is ordered. He says there's a rebuke that's ordered. Tell them about it. He says, here, I want you to know there's repentance that's observed here. If they repent. If they repent, say, I'm sorry. Has anybody ever apologized to you? I had a fellow doing some work for me the other day, and I went ahead and paid him. And he had some work to come back and finish up, and I ain't seen him in a week and a half. And I sent him a text message today, and I said, I done got somebody else to finish the work up. You know what he texted me back? I apologize. And you know what? I don't have any hard feelings against him. He's a Christian. I can get over it. There's things we can get over if we want to. And it'll do you good if you can when somebody does something to you. Repentance is observed. I want you to see something in Matthew's gospel right here in chapter number 6. Christ's teaching right here about forgiveness. When Christ was teaching about prayer right here in Matthew chapter 6 and verse number 9, he says, after this manner therefore pray ye, our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Now listen to what he's got to say. For if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But, if you forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. If you've got an ought against somebody and you're unwilling to get it worked out and get it ironed out, you got no need to pray to God. There's no need to pray because He's not going to hear your prayers. There's sin in your life. Sin in your life if you've got an unforgiving spirit. Amen. Now, that's what Jesus said. That's what He said. Listen, if you're not going to forgive your brother and your sister, He says, I'm not going to forgive you of your trespasses. That's hard saying, ain't it? That's a hard saying. But I didn't write the Bible. God did. Now, back in Luke 17 right here, the repeated offenses, forgiveness is ordered. Forgiveness is ordered. Let's go into the book of Matthew. Well, you don't have to turn there. In Matthew chapter 18, Peter asked a question. He said, Lord, if somebody trespasses against me 7 times, should I forgive him 7 times? He said, how about 70 times 7? In other words, there's no limit. You don't set a limit. Because God has asked, He's asking us as Christians to live the Christian life and to be forgiven. And can I ask you something tonight? How many times have you offended God? How many times have you sinned and asked the Lord to forgive you? And then you go out and you do the same old thing again, and you have to ask forgiveness again. And you go out and do the same thing again, and you have to ask forgiveness again. And He's always faithful to forgive you. Why can't we forgive one another? How many times? The facts of the offenses, the forgiveness is ordered, but the flesh that opposes. Flesh. This flesh is going to give us trouble till we leave it behind. Flesh. We have problems with this old flesh because it's prone to anger. Prone to anger. This flesh plots for revenge. Hey, amen. Somebody ever done something to you and you thought within yourself, I'll get you. I'll get you back. That's the flesh. That's the flesh. The Bible says if we'll walk after the Spirit, we'll not fulfill the lust of the flesh. The fruits of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, meekness, faith, temperance. All these fruits of the Spirit is, hey, it's what Jesus wants us to have in our life, controlling our emotions and our thoughts and our deeds in life. But if we give over to our flesh, somebody offends me, I'm going to get revenge. If somebody offends me and I let the flesh lead and guide my life, you know what I'm doing? I'm giving place to the devil. I give place to the devil if I'm going to let my flesh lead and guide me, and he'll take it. He'll take it and he'll carry you to places and he'll make you do things you never thought you'd do. Amen. And you know, when we give place to the devil, we become his prisoner. A prisoner of unforgiveness, bitterness, and useless to the things of God. So you better watch your flesh. You better strive to be in the Spirit of God. Amen? That's why the Lord commands us to be filled with the Spirit. Because this flesh is a problem. My flesh is a problem to me. And I know yours is to you too. I'm talking about one of the biggest problems tonight in our lives and in our churches. Forgiveness. Unforgiveness. But notice this right here, and I'll be closing down after this point right here. Not only the facts of offenses and the forgiveness that's ordered, the flesh that opposes, but faith to overcome. Notice what the Bible says a little further right here. In verse 4, Jesus says, if you trespass against thee 7 times in a day, turn again to thee, saying, I repent, thou shalt forgive. Notice what the apostles here had to say. It said, and the apostles said unto the Lord, increase our faith. Faith. Increase our faith. Isn't it amazing how they inserted that in there? You know what they were saying? We can't. We can't do it, Lord. Increase our faith. We got to have something extra. If somebody just keeps coming back to me and offending me over and over again, and I've got to forgive them over and over again, I got to have some faith. I got to have some faith. I've got to look to the teachings of Christ. I've got to put my faith and trust in what He says, and He says, forgive them. Forgive them. Get it worked out. Don't be a hindrance. Don't be a stumbling block. Because somebody's watching your life. Amen. He said, we can't. And Jesus says, you can. Verse number 6. And the Lord said, if you had faith as a grain of a mustard seed. I think Brother Dwayne here a few weeks ago, he had some mustard seed. Little old tiny, tiny, tiny seed. Jesus said, if you had just that much faith, if you just had that much faith, you might say to this sycamine tree. Anybody ever heard of the sycamine tree? I didn't say sycamore. Sycamine. You ought to Google that and look it up sometime. I'll tell you a few things about it. He said if you had just a tiny, tiny amount of faith like that of a mustard seed, you could say to this sycamine tree, be thou plucked up by the root and be thou planted in the sea, and it should obey you. Now, what was Jesus trying to teach us right here with this sycamine tree and with this little tiny seed? He's telling us it is possible for us to live the Christian life and love one another and forgive one another. But we got to have faith. This sycamine tree, I wrote down a few things that I looked up. The seed and the sycamine tree gives us a great example right here of unforgiveness. The sycamine tree was a tree over there in the in that part of the country where its roots would run really deep into the ground because it's so dry and barren over there. Its roots would run deep and they would spread out. And that sycamine tree was really difficult to kill. It knew how to survive in a dry climate. That's the way bitterness and unforgiveness is in our life. It gets rooted. And it keeps growing. And it keeps spreading. Running deep. And it thrives in a dry climate. You know, one problem is that our lives can get real dry and barren. If we got an unforgiving spirit within us, then we're not going to be able to get a prayer through. More than likely, you ain't going to read your Bible. You ain't going to get nothing out of church. And it's just going to get drier and drier and drier and more barren in your life. The sycamine tree. And it's hard to kill. Hard to kill. You know why? Those roots, they spread out so, they say you can cut that tree down and it'll sprout back out of the roots. You cut the main trunk down and there'll be a multitude of other little ones sprouting up. That's the way bitterness works in a person's life. I read over there in Hebrews this morning about that root of bitterness. Root of bitterness defiles many. This sycamine tree, the fruit of this tree, they said that this true tree looks a whole lot like a mulberry tree. And the mulberry tree has sweet fruit, a fig they call it. It's real sweet fruit. And this sycamine tree has a fruit that looks very, very similar to the mulberry. But the sycamine fruit is bitter. Bitter. Barely edible. They said if you eat any of it, you'd have to just nibble on it a little bit at a time because it was so bitter. Isn't it amazing how Christ used that sycamine tree right there to compare it to unforgiveness? Its roots run deep. Its fruit's bitter. It grows well in a dry, barren climate. And I also read in one place where it was a preferred wood to build coffins out of. It likes dead things. Amen. Bitterness brings deadness in the Christian life. It brings deadness in your spiritual life. It's a killer. You want to have an unforgiving spirit to control and run your life? When you come to the house of God, you know, you're going to get nothing out of it. Nothing. And I'm afraid that a lot of Baptist churches have been killed because folks having an ought against each other and bitterness has ruled the house. It's a problem. And I wonder tonight, have you got that problem? You see, unforgiveness is bitter. It'll kill your joy. It'll take your peace away from you. Your spirit life, spiritual life, is dead. Dead. Because you have no communication with God. Forgiveness is a divine work of grace. Jesus was teaching his disciples something right here. It's impossible, but that offenses will come. Forgiveness is an expression of divine love. In John 13, 34 and 35, Jesus said, "A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another as I have loved you, that you also love one another. By this shall all men know that you're my disciples if you have love one to another." A commandment to love one another. And so if I've got an ought against you, I better get it worked out. If you've got an ought against me, come to me. And let's get it worked out. Let's love one another as Christ has commanded us. Our church will be much, much better for it. Bitterness eats on you on the inside. He'll kill you. Hatred, bitterness, the things that defile your Christian life needs to be eradicated. I tell you what you ought to do to each other. We ought to look for the best in each other instead of looking at the faults. Because we got a lot of faults about us. But we got some good in us too. If the Lord lives within you, there's some good. We're prone to make mistakes and do things to offend one another. But we better learn to get over it. Amen. All right. That's